All the major news stories made simple and easy for your listening pleasure. We'll break it down for you in keywords for this segment. We're joined by Adam. Good morning.
Good morning, Lena. I want cookies now.
What kind of cookies?
Chocolate chip, as always.
You know, it's funny because when I threw that question out to all of our listeners, I guess the first answer I saw on our chat box was freshly baked chocolate chip cookies.
Ooh, sounds good.
You know, does anything really beat, though, freshly baked anything?
No, it has to come straight out of the oven. And I'm also a fan of cookie dough, so even before it goes into the oven, I've probably consumed more than half of the to-be-made cookies.
You know, me too. I know, I can't decide whether or not that's like a really like Western thing, or whether or not it's actually quite disgusting or really good.
It's not raw disgusting. It's wonderful.
Raw cookie dough.
It's the best thing in the world. It's my favorite type of ice cream as well by the firm known as B&J. But yeah.
All right, guys. It doesn't have to be strictly Korean, I suppose. What is your favorite snack? And better yet, if you have an answer to what is your favorite winter snack, do let us know. Let's jump into our keyword news this morning. We're going to try to clarify some of the major headlines for the day, starting with a look at the COVID-19 situation in the country. This is our first pick of the day.
Soaring cases.
So it continues to look pretty gloom. Let's get the latest on the pandemic situation. Daily cases have been hitting record highs for days now, and Korea looks to hit the 7,000 mark again. Let's get the details on the latest figures.
Yeah, certainly not looking good, is it? As of 9 p.m. yesterday, there were 5,100 new cases. That means the caseload until midnight, which will be reported today, could near or surpass 7,000 again. We'll have to wait and see. And of course, we saw that record made yesterday as well. Cases are again concentrated in the capital area. Infections were rising, especially among older adults as well, who have been suffering from a drop in vaccine efficacy, as well as children who have not received even a first shot of the vaccine yet. The vaccination rate among them is quite low still. The jump in critically ill patients is also raising alarm bells for health authorities. And with rising patients, the ICU bed occupancy rate at hospitals around the country reached 79%. In the capital area, it rose to 84.5%, and nearly 900 patients are waiting to be admitted to hospitals. Health officials fear the rise in cases will continue for some time, unfortunately, and so they are mulling stricter virus curbs to contain the spread. This could mean going back to these business curfews as well as private gathering caps, and there are already toughened measures in place since Monday, but the effects of those aren't expected to be seen for another couple of weeks. So possibly for the next week or so, we'll still see these high daily case numbers, and we'll have to see if these toughened measures have worked after that.
I mean, we always knew that this was a really tough balancing act for KDCA, those who have to impose these restrictions. I mean, business owners are, of course, already strained too. It's not just the ICU bed occupancy that we're keeping our eyes on, but I guess the circumstances calls for it, but we'll have to wait and see what kind of stricter impositions can be realistically put into place. All right, on to our related second keyword of the day.
No worse than Delta.
So kind of, you know, adding on top of what Anthony Fauci said just a day ago, the WHO also says the Omicron variant appears to be no worse than other coronavirus strains, including Delta. But of course, it is still early days and more data needs to come out as for whether these vaccines, currently available ones, hold up against the variant.
That's right. That is something that the WHO is saying as well. And its chief, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, said early data, early being the key there, from South Africa, suggests increased risk of reinfection with Omicron. But he added, however, that there is also some evidence that Omicron causes milder disease than Delta. But he stressed more data was needed before drawing firm conclusions. And so he also urged countries everywhere to boost their surveillance to help provide a clearer picture of how Omicron is behaving. Even if it does turn out that Omicron causes less severe disease, Tedros warned against complacency against the virus. virus. His assessment seems to be the consensus among other WHO officials as well. The WHO Emergencies Director Michael Ryan noted that even if the new variant turns out to be less dangerous than previous variants, if it transmits more rapidly, it still could sicken more people and, of course, overburden health systems and unfortunately lead to more deaths as well. Now, WHO experts stress the importance of vaccination, as usual, highlighting even if vaccines prove less effective against Omicron, as some data indicates, there are still expected to provide significant protection against severe disease, which, of course, is the ultimate purpose of these vaccines.
You know, I heard that Omicron, it has more mutations than previous variants, of course, with around 30 mutations on just his spike protein. I think for virologists, that's really a big point of concern.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, we're working with the vaccines that are already made available to us. And Pfizer, one of the biggest carriers, it says its booster shot promises to be an effective defense against Omicron.
That's right. The firm said after a small study that three doses provide a similar level of antibodies against Omicron to that of two doses against other variants. And it noted that a third booster dose of the vaccine resulted in a 25-fold increase in the neutralizing antibodies that attack the virus. However, two doses may still induce protection against severe disease, according to the company. And it said it was continuing to monitor the real-world effectiveness against Omicron. And separately, Pfizer said it was developing a new vaccine that is targeted specifically at Omicron. And they expect it to be available by March if it is needed. But of course, again, with all of these stories, this is information coming out from the company itself. So they obviously have interests in mind that suit their own interests. And so we should take it with a huge grain of salt.
All right, on to our third keyword of the day.
Democracy Summit.
President Moon Jae-in will take part in U.S. President Joe Biden's summit for democracy today. At least let's take a look at the agenda. What can we expect out of this meeting?
Yes, the summit, according to Changwade, is aimed at bringing allies and partners together against authoritarian forces. Korea was among 110 countries on a list made public by the U.S. State Department. The list excludes China and Russia. Beijing has condemned the event and expressed particular anger that Taiwan is among the invitees. That's because China still thinks that Taiwan is under Chinese control. Now, Moon is expected to give a briefing on Korea's achievements in promoting democracy and human rights. He is also expected to reveal Korea's intention to contribute to the promotion of democracy in the international community as well. Now, the two-day virtual summit will come days after Washington announced a diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Winter Olympics. Eyes will be on what Moon will say about that issue, if anything at all. Now, the Summit for Democracy, as it's being named, was one of Biden's election campaign pledges. The State Department said it's expected to tackle the key themes of defending against authoritarianism, addressing and fighting corruption, and advancing respect for human rights. Some analysts have questioned the inclusion of leaders of countries where democracy is considered under threat or is questionable. This includes Rodrigo Duterte, for example, the president of the Philippines, who is often seen as an iron fist leader. Poland and India have also questionable democracies as well, but they were invited possibly due to geopolitical benefits that they have for the US. Poland, of course, being near Russia, obviously has a geopolitical benefit for the US. India as well, when it comes to relations with or tensions with China, India does can have a bit of a say in that as well. And basically, this whole summit itself has been facing some controversy, and it's a lot of analysts have questioned, well, what defines democracy, and why are some of these countries invited, why are some not? So yeah, but Korea is included anyway. Yeah.
But I guess to maybe play a devil's advocate or to vouch for what the Biden administration seems to have their interests in, shouldn't they also invite these leaders of questionable democracy so that they could maybe be steered in the interest of the United States as far as their democratic practices go.
That is a very good point, in fact, yes. And of course, we'll have to see what the results and what discussions are made during this. And of course, as is usual with the case, South Korea is again found in the middle between these US-China tensions as well. So, of course, Korea participating in this summit might not please China that much. And of course, that might hinder President Moon's kind of efforts to for this declaration of the end of the Korean War.
All right, moving on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Peacekeeping pledge.
The UN Peacekeeping Forum hosted by Korea has come to an end. Leaders have pledged stronger commitments to peacekeeping efforts across the world. Could you run us through the details, Adam?
Sure. The participants discussed during this two-day summit or forum ways to better train and equip UN peacekeepers and make their peacekeeping operations, or PKOs as they're known, more effective and safer. Many of the members gave detailed commitments, such as providing military assets, personnel, training, and other types of support. South Korea vowed to enhance PKO missions by capitalizing on smart technologies and boosting their medical capacity as well. It also pledged to donate 16 helicopters for operations in Africa, as well as launch a pilot project to apply so-called smart camp technologies. And it also announced plans to allocate an additional $1 million to a peacekeeping trust fund. These are things that we mentioned yesterday. Seoul also promised to send more police, peacekeepers, and host a female military officer course on gender issues as well.
All right, and on to our fifth keyword of the day.
RCEP.
Are we going RCEP or RCEP?
RCEP. Yes, that's the one, sorry.
The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership. If you haven't heard about it, let us do a little refresher. They're scheduled to become effective next year as the largest multilateral FTA in the world. Korea is, in fact, part of it. What should we know?
Yeah, the government estimates that once the RCEP goes into effect, the nation's FTA network will expand to account for 85% of the world's GDP. Now, this deal itself links 15 nations, 10 from the OECD, or ASEAN, sorry. Their combined trade volume, population, and nominal GDP make up 30% of the world's total. Seoul hopes that these new deals will help streamline exports, of course, an important industry for Korea. It also vowed to continuously seek out new FTAs as well. Korea is currently working toward more free trade deals with Mexico, the Pacific Alliance, and the Gulf Cooperation Council, as well as many others. Seoul says it is working to make sure that domestic companies can make the most out of RCEP with a range of support measures. Now, the RCEP will become effective on January 1st, but for South Korea, it'll be launched from February.
All right, and on to our last keyword of the day.
Free lunch.
Good news for parents of kindergartners, especially. Well, they'll be served a free lunch at all kindergartens in Seoul. So run us through the details.
Yeah, surprisingly, the kindergartens are actually the last to get these free lunches out of school students. Middle high schools have already and elementary have already gotten such programs. These free lunches for kindergartners will be provided from March. Now, that would complete the city's universal free meal program up to high school. 790 public and private kindergartens are expected to benefit from the move. That means nearly 72,000 kindergartners will be getting free lunch from the new school year. The initiative is said to cost some 70 billion won per year. I'm very jealous because I never had free lunch when I was going to school in the UK, because you have to pay for everything over there.
You know, it was the same for me growing up in the United States, and it was particularly expensive in the state of California. And the thing is, I mean, why are we saying this as if we paid for it? Our parents paid for it. So, to be honest with you, I think we were pretty fortunate, right? Yeah. But you know how the saying goes, like, you know, once you graduate, your schools and the systems, they all improve, they become better. My school, for example, it did not have like a grass, like outdoors area.
It was California?
Right. Because it dries out a little too much during the summer season. It's like desert weather. And then the second I graduated, it became grassy and green.
It always happens, though. You leave the school and then it gets better. You're never able to reap your reap the benefits of your tuition fee, I guess.
That's the cycle of life, folks. Thank you so much, Adam, for today's conversation. I'll speak to you again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.